Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Numbers were down, apparently, to Black Friday. I haven't looked for the whole weekend yet, but as far as when we checked on the weekend on Saturday, the numbers were like 20-something percent down.
From what I've heard, Friday. The deals were terrible this year.
That's what I've heard, too.
Your friend posted that online, right?
Yeah, I had a friend that posted, like, I've been to 3 or 4 stores, and where are the deals? She lives in Dallas.
Well, the deal is that it's not twice as much as it was a year ago because of the inflationary monetary policy of the federal government throughout the last year.
Yeah,
that's the deal.
The deal is we kept prices somewhat down,
right?
That kind of thing.
Your television today costs about the same amount as it did on Black Friday a year ago because... That's the deal.
Because money is worth less. The U.S. dollar and other currencies around the world are worth less. The other thing is, now whether it was because of the smaller turnout or not sure why, but there just didn't seem to be as many fights this year. I really couldn't find any footage.
Well, that gives me hope for humanity.
Does it?
Well, I mean, I've heard so many stupid stories, man. I mean, South Park did an entire 3-episode special on this. That's really good for people who haven't seen it. I don't remember it's a Game of Thrones spoof. It also led to the creation of the storyline led to the video game. So it was really cool in that regard as well. But yeah, you hear stories like people, you know, using their 6-month-old child to like beat an old lady unconscious or something so they can get a television.
I thought you were joking about that.
Consumers are planning to spend just under $1,000, about $997 on average for themselves and their families on holiday gifts this year, according to the National Retail Federation's annual survey, down from the pre-pandemic high of $1,047 in 2019. I plan to spend nothing, is my plan. I generally don't buy gifts for people on the
I don't
holidays.
Either. I mean, if you want to buy me a gift, don't. Use that money and buy yourself something instead. Cut out the middleman. You buy yourself something. If I want something, I'll buy it.
You'll buy it for you.
Everyone will be happier.
Because you know what's best for you.
Yes.
Right? It's like, oh, thanks so much for this thing I didn't ask for.
Well, Tom Woods was talking about this today, and he said that people who think like that are inhuman.
But no, it makes complete perfect sense. And it's very libertarian. If you absolutely have to give someone a gift, give them cash, right? But if you want things to be equal... You have to give this person, you know, $50 in cash, and then they're going to feel bad if they don't give you back $50 in cash. Okay, so you both
What's
just keep your own cash and buy yourself something. It's like, so much more sensible.
Tom Woods was talking about how there are some people that say Christmas is inefficient because you both spend $20, but you wouldn't buy the thing somebody gave you anyway, so it's inefficient. But he said the people that think like that are the same people who think you just are supposed to keep breathing until you die and wear a mask every day. And
no, I don't think that's
not true. Everything associated with Christmas is one of the worst things ever. And I want to rail about Christmas at some point before we actually get into the article, but...
Well, why don't you rail about it then?
Because I have to organize my thoughts about it. Okay, I'll start with how a lot
you
of libertarians...
You grew up in the Bible Belt, by the way, for listeners that don't know.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that I hate Christmas, but it's not the only reason, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of libertarians were jokingly or semi-jokingly referring to it as capitalismists and things like that. But there's nothing capitalistic about Christmas. Capitalism is about savings. Christmas is just about consumerism, just raw, blatant consumerism. Buying cheap garbage that's only going to last you a few years. It's not about saving money. It's about spending money. That's Keynesianism. It's not Austrian economics. It's not going to help people by spending their way into debt.
Right.
So that's my biggest gripe with Christmas. I also hate that, you know, Christmas music, I hate it passionately. It's not just it's not just a stylistic thing, right? Christmas.
You're a musician.
Yes. And Christmas music is horrible. I mean, most of it is anyway. Mm-hmm. Most of the mainstream stuff is. But it's not just because of that I hate it. It's because Christmas and Christianity, they actually kind of have a little bit of baggage attached to them. You can't just play Christmas music at the mall and pretend like that baggage of millions of people murdered by Christianity throughout the centuries isn't there or doesn't count. Or that Christians aren't actively advocating for abortion to be banned right now. Or trying to reinstate conversion therapy right now. You can't just ignore those things. Go, oh, it's just a happy little song. Yeah, celebrating a religion that's doing this to people today.
The thing about Christmas music and Christian music, I don't like the way it sounds, as in I wouldn't just listen to it to jam out. But every time I hear it, I have to sing along with it because I don't know what it is. You just know it, including Christian songs for me because I also grew up Christian.
You make a good point about the distinction between Christmas and Christian music.
Well, some are secular. Some Christmas songs are fairly secular.
I hate both categories, but the Christian one actually frustrates me, and I want it to go away.
I don't know. The song, like, Gloria is so fun to sing. It's like Taylor Swift. I hate Taylor Swift, but there's a couple songs that I'm just like, it's fun to sing, and I don't let anybody know.
I don't have the same seething hatred as you, Aria, but then again, I didn't grow up in as restrictive of a Christian kind of environment. I mean, you had, like... Was it fundamentalist parents?
Yes.
What's the division of
Christianity? Oh, they believe that the world is 6,000 years old. That the
devil... That's pretty standard among Christians, isn't it?
Not really. Really? I mean, most of them realize that, you know, that can't possibly be true because there were these things called dinosaurs and geology exists.
A lot of them don't believe in that stuff.
A lot of the fundamentalists don't.
Yeah, don't they say that, like, Satan put the bones here in order to trick you?
Yeah, those are largely the Southern Baptists, and that's what my family was. I mean, they were full on, you know... The computer binary code is 666, and the Antichrist is going to use Y2K to take over the world. Yeah, they had bunkers and stuff, right?
And didn't they send you to pray the gay away camp or something like that?
They did. More than half of Americans are planning to go into debt in order to satisfy this stupid religious obligation that isn't even about religious stuff anymore. I call it Xmas because that's really all. It's just about gifts at this point. Mm-hmm. This would be a good year for Christians to prove that, you know, it's not really about that. Jesus is the true reason for the season.
That's what they say, but actions speak louder than words.
What was the number again?
56% of shoppers, according to the story here at CNBC. And strangely, they're using two different numbers in the story. But the headline says, 56% of shoppers have made a purchase with buy now, pay later, and 45% of shoppers plan to use buy now, pay later. So I'm not sure if it's 56% of shoppers have already used it, and then 45% are planning on using it. So anyway, roughly half.
Now, refresh my memory. That's sort of like a layaway system, but it's like an app or something.
Oh, Afterpay?
Bonnie knows.
Yeah, I love Afterpay. But it's not because I get by something I can't afford. And I'm like, I can afford it if I make payments. It's just because it's better that way. I don't know. You just spend less and pay it off slower. I mean, I have a job and I pay it off, but I wouldn't go into debt for something. I'm not sure if this is the same as going into debt.
Life intervenes and unexpected financial events occur, right? Like, we don't know when those events are going to occur, but we know they're
going
to.
That's why they suck so much.
Yeah, we know they're going to occur. Your car breaks down.
Cars,
you have
a
physical, accident. You cut your finger off or something like that, right? Like, something happens to you. You have to go to the hospital. Now you got a hospital bill or whatever. These things occur in life. And now, all of a sudden, the money that you were going to spend on the buy now, pay later, you were already two payments in. You had two more payments to go. Okay, well, do I want to spend money to fix my car so I can go to work? Or do I want to spend money on the buy now, pay later so I don't incur whatever fees that they're going to hit you with because you miss a payment? And obviously you need to spend money on the car so you can go to work and earn more money, right? So
then you get hit with the fees.
Then you get hit with the fees, and now you're deeper into debt than you had originally planned to be. And so this stuff piles up on people. And plus, a lot of the people who do buy now, pay later also have a credit card, right? So they're also...
God, I hope not.
Right?
Well, but I know you're right.
The Americans have a ton of debt. In fact, I think I don't know if you were on the show, but we looked it up recently. It's something like $90,000 worth of debt.
Yeah, I was there that night.
Yeah, per American. So that includes college loans, and that includes a home loan or a car loan or whatever it is that they've got. So on average.
But that's per American.
Per American.
Which includes five-year-olds who have zero debt.
Afterpay and Klarna are two of the biggies, and they allow people to divvy up payments into three or four payments. So if you're going to buy a $200 piece of whatever, then it's four $50 payments, and if you make them all on time, you don't actually have to pay any fee on top of that. So,
which is good.
Yeah.
And it's a lot better than, using $200 on a credit card and being guaranteed to pay a fee.
That's true.
I was thinking about this as well during the break, is that interesting things are happening with overdraft fees and stuff like that, because there are these online banks, one of which I use, that doesn't have overdraft fees.
Wow, you've got a bank?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Well, it was only for my, paychecks at my other job for so long, and that's all it's ever been for, so.
They didn't shut you down yet.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah. And it's an online bank, so there's no overdraft fees or anything like that. So if I were to overdraft, they don't hit you with that $30 fee or whatever that your average bank does.
Right.
Then what do they do if you overdraft?
Do they cover it?
They spot you that amount, and when you get paid or whatever, you can leave them a tip if you want. But you don't have to. And it's not going to affect your ability to... They call it spot me.
There must be a limit on it, though. I mean, if somebody tries to ding you for $1,000.
Like, I think it's like $45.
Okay.
But if your account has been open long enough, it goes up to $90.
Afterpay's claim is that they're going to bring you more business. And when you go to their pitch page on their website for retailers, that's basically the pitch is we will give you, you know, more customers are going to buy your product. And when they do, the business gets paid immediately because Afterpay pays for the... You know, they pay the bill.
Right.
And then the customer just owes them in that case. And they claim that businesses get up to 20% more sales. So, say, as our partners see a 20% increase in cart conversion on average and more repeat customers. So, is the 4 to 6% that you're going to spend in commission on these sales worth it? Well, the answer would be yeah, if they're really new customers. If indeed they are customers that would not have bought your product. To spend 4% or 6% when you probably were going to spend 3% on the credit card, right? Because this is mostly online shopping. Can you ever use these things at storefronts?
Yeah, I was just telling you, like Nolan or my friend in San Antonio used it whenever I went down there at a storefront, and I was like, wow, I did not know that they did that.
Do they have like an interface on the cash register?
They have you download the app, and something with their cash register, I'm sure. And I just thought that was crazy.
Yeah. So for the most part, I mean, for these merchants, it makes sense. Right?
Yeah, there's not much downside for them.
That's what's so messed up about the whole Santa Claus myth about Santa Claus bringing presents. It's because parents are obligated to buy their kids presents because otherwise, why does Santa forget about us? And that's sad.
Well, parents shouldn't lie to their kids, number one. I mean, that's the biggest problem with Santa Claus is it creates a relationship of dishonesty between parents and kids. And it's hard to undo that kind of damage. Once it's done.
It is. And it's weird that society just accepts it as normal that, oh, yeah, we're just going to lie to our kids for the first 10 years of our lives or of their lives. And they'll figure it out eventually. Like, that doesn't sound like very good parenting to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it that way. But then again, you know, I have no plan to have children.
If I was going to have a kid, though, I'd want my kid to be the one on the playground going, you idiots believe in Santa? What is wrong with you? You believe this magical fat guy travels the entire world and you don't even have a chimney, right. John. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
You live in Florida or whatever.
I see a possibility of good things in the future. Mm-hmm. Whatever that, whether that makes me an optimist or not, I see the possibility being there of, you know, liberty being successful somewhere and people actually being free to live their lives. For most people, that's not their goal. That's not their dream. They dream of having 2.5 kids, a house, a white picket fence, a 3-car garage or whatever. And they know on an instinctual level that those things are forever beyond their reach. And it makes them feel hopeless and it makes them despair. Which feeds into these vicious cycles of, well, it doesn't matter. I'm never going to actually attain all these goals anyway, mm-hmm. So why not? Why not buy that extra 12-pack of beer or whatever?
Instead of buying Bitcoin.
Yeah. That $4 I'm spending on that beer, it's not going to matter. Sure, they could put that $4 in savings into Bitcoin. Yeah. And, you know, sure, it's only $4,
could buy a lot of beer now if you'd spend it on Bitcoin.
You absolutely could. But, I mean, most people don't live in the world that way.
No, they don't.
Another thing related to all this you guys are saying that was happening to me at the beginning of 2020 was I had, like, a list of, like, things I wanted to do, like goals, because I felt like everything was just so up in the air and unorganized in my life. And I would always put learn about Bitcoin on there because I had started listening to you guys' show, learn how to buy some Bitcoin. And I just never did because it goes back to what I was telling you whenever I came back from San Antonio. Like, I feel like cities are just like a trap.
I'd mentioned layaway before we went to the break there. Just for whatever reason, it came back up into my mind. Like, this was a thing. Oh, the article mentioned it. Sort of, they describe buy now, pay later as similar to layaway, except the customer gets the product. So layaway, for those of you who, you know, teenagers who don't know what layaway is or whatever... It was
my aunt loved that stuff, dude. The term layaway and how she pronounced it is just permanently burned into my memory.
How'd she pronounce it?
I wouldn't be able to mimic it.
Oh, okay.
I can't mimic the way my southern relatives talk either, but I can say they usually shorten the amount of syllables somehow.
Yeah, it was a two-syllable word layaway. The way she said it.
Layaway?
Yeah, very similar to
take
that.
Take the A out, basically.
But with a little more southern twang to it.
Uh-huh.
But they also add syllables, too. Like, my grandma says boy, like, but not at all like the way I said it.
So southern accent's a weird one, man.
So what is it? Well, it used to be an entire section. So when I worked at Kmart in the 1990s, it was an entire section of the store that's behind, like, a wall, and there's, you know, a gate or whatever. There's a locked door. Customers aren't allowed inside the layaway department. There was just a counter, and then, you know, you would come up to the counter as a customer, and it's like Christmas season, and it's, you know, just after Halloween or something like that, and you want to get the gifts for the kids for Christmas season, so you put them on layaway because you don't have good financial sense, and you can't save money. Of course, if you didn't pay it off, well, they keep the fee, and then they just put the products back out on the shelves after a certain amount of time, right?
Like, and they kept the first payment that you made as well, right?
Yeah. So if you reneged on the layaway payments, then you lose it. You lose the payment. I don't know if you got some money back. Like, I don't remember all the details. It's been 25 years or whatever since I was in the department. But interestingly, I remembered as we were talking about this during the break, like, Walmart had gotten rid of layaway a few years ago, and then due to popular demand, brought it back. But then they only brought it back for jewelry, apparently. So they've been whittling it away.
Who needs layaway for jewelry from Walmart?
Mm-mm.
The same people that need layaway.
Isn't a Walmart necklace like $3?
They have like jewelry with real like diamonds and stuff in there. But my thought was always, if you're going to go and buy a nice ring or whatever for somebody, why would you want it from Walmart? It's just the name Walmart would bother me.
Do you like my engagement ring from Walmart? It just doesn't sit right.
Well,
it may have been $1,500, sure, but it came from Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it could be really expensive, but you'd still know it's from Walmart.
The better way is to actually have a decent economy where people aren't living paycheck to paycheck, or at least, you know, they don't have to, right? Because Bonnie was able to live frugally, and it was tough, right? Like, even being a frugal person, it was very, very difficult to live paycheck to paycheck. And that's true for a lot of people out there. A lot of people, they don't have the financial experience to do that, and it's even harder for them. But if we actually had money that wasn't devaluing constantly, that would help, right? Like, if people actually had the incentive to save, because that's one other thing, right? Like, if the money becomes worth less over time. Now, most people don't really understand inflation, but
I think they feel it on some level. Right? They may not know that the declining value of the dollar encourages them to spend it rather than save it. But at the same time, we do have this society of people who aren't just spending dollars as fast as they can get them. They're spending dollars they don't even have.
Right. Right.
So they don't want the dollar. Maybe that's what's going on here, is that just on this instinctual level, people realize they don't want the dollar.
Got to get rid of this.
They want the stuff the dollar can buy, and they want it now because the dollar is going to be worth less in 6 months.
According to the very same story that I was reading about Walmart getting rid of layaway, Walmart has recently undergone several company-wide changes, including raising its minimum wage, getting rid of its employee bonus program for hourly workers. So that's gone at this point.
And opening, I can't imagine they were giving away too many bonuses anyway.
No, probably not. And opening ghost kitchens, apparently, inside select stores.
What does that mean?
Strange. I wouldn't have expected Walmart to be doing it, but a ghost kitchen is like a kitchen that you can rent out, basically. So, like, let's say, for instance, the local restaurant here that serves delicious pho noodles called Pho Keen Great, right here in downtown Keene, that takes cryptocurrency and gold backs, apparently.
I'm not surprised to hear it.
They close at, like, 9 o'clock at night or something like that. Well, let's say somebody wants to run a overnight delivery service, and the owner of the restaurant wants to rent the kitchen out to a company doing that. I think that's kind of what a ghost kitchen is, basically. As I understand it, Applebee's is doing this, although it's with a subsidiary of their own company, so I don't know if it's truly a ghost kitchen where they're selling like wings out of Applebee's or something like that, and it's a quote-unquote different company, but they're using Applebee's kitchen.
Oh, like how there's a wing place, I can't remember what it's called, inside some Pizza Huts.
You were discussing pronouncing layaway down here in the South. I've lived in the South over half my life, but I kind of studied linguistics a little bit. Just, for instance, like the British folks and their accent, they hold their upper lip stiff completely covering their front teeth, their upper front teeth, and they hold their upper lip stiff, and that's how they talk and get their accent. But in the South, to get the proper accent to come out, you hold your tongue tightly against the back of your bottom teeth.
I talk about very important things like a brand new homeless shelter they're going to build here in Albuquerque. It's called the Gateway Center.
Okay.
And it used to be a formal hospital. So it's going to be a 24-hour emergency center. I'm so excited because it's going to have actually washing machines, you know, that it's going to have hookups. Right now, the homeless shelter is a jail turned into a homeless shelter. So it's got no kitchen. It has no laundry facilities. And you could get kicked out from washing out your socks in a sink. And then they complain about coronavirus that the homeless people carry. It's a big issue. So they get them hotel vouchers. So I'm really excited about this new homeless shelter. So it's something that...
Have you spent time in a homeless shelter?
Of course.
Okay.
I told you, I've been homeless on and off for 10 years, and I could not call the shows because I was staying at that West Side shelter because I had problems at my apartment. I really didn't want to move out, and I was trying to get some sleep, so that's why I was out of commission for
about 2 years. Let's go back for just a moment, okay? I just want to take me back to the problems at the apartment. Now, you, I believe, if I recall correctly, you were living in a welfare apartment, right? Like, you were living in government-provided welfare apartments, correct?
Well, it's a mixed income.
So Ian had asked you essentially whether or not this trailer that you live in now uses one of these voucher systems or if you have to pay the actual full amount of rent.
No, the trailer's paid off. The space rent is $350, so I have an agreement. I just pay $150 in rent and I help buy food. So he's a friend of mine.
Oh, okay. So you've got a friend who already owns his own trailer, and by moving you in, he's lowering his lot costs, basically.
Well, he likes me because I'm a woman. He likes to see I have a woman in the house more than anything else.
Are you good at, like, cleaning and cooking?
Well, I am quite good at cooking, but I did get kind of lazy about cleaning. But I did mop the floor today.
Okay, all right.
But he does get to see me naked. That's a plus.
So this
I
wasn't going to ask this, but you've now brought it to made me have to ask it. Is this a sexual relationship?
No, it's not.
So you wouldn't say he's your boy. You wouldn't say he's your boyfriend?
Not really.
Do you think this is the best solution, is to just give homeless people handouts and, you know, encourage them basically to stay poor?
Well, you know, the thing is that they're always going to have help. What they were looking at is that they found out that San Antonio, the homeless shelter there, were one of the best that they researched. And what they do is they take people in, and they have the psychiatrist there, they have the housing Section 8 social workers and all the people that they need right there on the property. So whatever help they need, they're available. Medical help, substance abuse help.
Yeah, the only problem here, Sarah, is that it's going to be run by the government. And so I'm immediately skeptical. And I thank you for calling in to share the story with us here tonight.
Like, you probably could get something like what she's describing from, like, the VA. Like, oh, well, they're going to give you, they're going to have everything you need. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're going to give you everything you need, you know, psychiatry and whatever.
They'll give you pills.
But
all the pills.
It's just that it never works out the way it's supposed to. People wait forever. They're, you know, in this huge backlogs because it's government and nobody has any incentive to work and be
to really care in a lot of cases. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that works for the government is some sort of heartless bureaucrat. I think there really are people that do get into government work with the intention of trying to change things from the inside.
Over 10 times, Aria. Over 10 times. I've heard Tim Pool bring up your run for sheriff story.
Okay.
Wow, that's really great.
Is awesome news.
When is Tim Pool going to actually reach out to Aria to interview her?
I mean, I've reached out
to
him.
That's what I want to know. Or maybe Aria should reach out to Tim Pool.
I have reached out to him.
How?
Friends of mine that listen to him have reached out to him. There's never been a response from him about it.
Yeah, I found out what his producer's name was. It's this girl, I forget her name, but I found her name on Twitter, so I have her I followed her on Twitter. Sour Patch Lids. I guess Lydia. And I tried tweeting at her, like, hey, you know, Aria is available for interview. And this was when you were running for mayor again or something like that. And because I knew that they talked about her extensively during her run for sheriff. And of course, now you've been arrested by the federal government due to the Crypto 6 situation. And they seem to be interested in cryptocurrency. Jeremy Kaufman name dropped the Crypto 6 on the air when he was on with Tim Pool. And Tim Pool's been having on all these Free Staters.
And they talked about, the Free State Project in general.
Right, Tim Pool just recently on Joe Rogan's show described the Free State Project as, you know, they're winning.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.